And welcome once again. Thank you for joining us. Yesterday we began our discussion about machlokas and the importance of staying away from machlokas as much as possible. As we learned from this week's parsha of Korach va'adaso, lo yiyeh k'korach va'adaso is the mandate that the Torah teaches us that we should not involve ourselves in machlokas. The Chafetz Chaim is quoted in one of the svarim that the Chafetz Chaim used to say over to his Talmidim, the Igeres HaRambam. The Rambam wrote in the Musar Shmuz that he gave to his son, the Rambam writes about how his son should stay away from machlokas. We said yesterday the story about the Chafetz Chaim to his son-in-law. This was obviously a very central theme in the life and the thought of the Chafetz Chaim. So he said as follows, Al teshaksu es nafshoseichem b'machlokas, said the Chafetz Chaim to his son, don't lower yourself to become somebody who's busy in machlokas. Amachala guf v'nefesh v'hamamon. That so often eats up at a person's personality, at a person's money, at a person's possessions. Ma nishar od, what's going to be left of you after you're done? This is a direct quotation from the Rambam himself. And then he says the Rambam, Ra'isi libanim sheheshchiru. I've seen children that have become black, so to speak. Upachos nifchasu, umishpachos nisafu, visarim nifsedu. I've seen all the greats of all the echelons of society. I've seen them all fall to become nothing. Va'anshe emuna avdu v'nechbadim nikalu v'nizbazu. Everybody becomes nothing when they get involved in sibas hamachlokas. He says you can be the most well-intentioned person, and you could be the highest personality, you could be the one who's well-respected by everybody, but once you get embroiled into a machlokas, it's all over, and everything that you had becomes lost. And then the Rambam says, Nevi'im nivu, chachamim chachmu, philosophim chafsu. He said, all the Nevi'im, all the chachamim, all the philosophers tried their best to try to explain to us all the ra'as hamachlokas, v'lo higia letachlisa. All of their conjecture about how bad machlokas is isn't even a tip of the iceberg of how terrible machlokas actually is in its core essence. So the Chafetz Chaim was saying this over in the yeshiva, and Rav Moshe Landinsky, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in the yeshiva in Radin, turned to the Chafetz Chaim and he said, how come the Rambam says such a thing? And how come we find by Yaakov Avinu? It's a very strange statement. Yaakov Avinu asked, Bikahalam al teichat kavodi, I want that I should have no part whatsoever in this terrible story of Korach v'Adaso. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And Yaakov Avinu's tefillah was answered. So why didn't Yaakov Avinu daven that the machlokas shouldn't happen in the first place? Why does he say, oh, there's going to be a machlokas later in history, Korach v'Adaso, Moshe Rabbeinu, everything's going to be upside down, and I don't want to have a part in it. I don't want anyone to say that they're descendants of mine. Why not offer a tefillah that the machlokas, Korach v'Adaso, and Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't take place in the first place? How come Yaakov Avinu doesn't daven for that? So the Rosh Hashiva answered the reason why is because that would be a tfilas shav, because it's impossible for the world to exist without machlokas. We know this is the way the world runs. Unfortunately, this is what happens. And for Yaakov Avinu to say, I promise, you know, I pray that I should never have a machlokas in any of my descendants would be something that's an impossibility. It's a tfilas shav. As we know, the Medrash says in the very beginning of Parshas Bereishis that at the time that the world was created, Shalom, the Midas HaShalom, came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Al Yibore, don't create the people of the land. Why? Because Shekula Machlokas, because they're always going to be fighting with each other. Why do you want to create them if this is going to be a violation of the Midah of Shalom? So you see already ingrained in the creation of the world was the fact that there's always going to unfortunately be Machlokas. The B'nai Yisascha writes, Reb Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro, one of the great Chassidish Rebbes, writes, perhaps this is the Pshat in our Parsha when we're told that B'nai Korach lo mesu. So he says, what do you mean B'nai Korach lo mesu? B'nai Korach did die, so what do you mean lo mesu? So maybe it means they got swallowed up in the ground and they didn't actually die, but they had their end that way. So he said that he heard from the Kutzker that the Pshat is as follows. He says, yeah, Korach v'Adaso died. However, he says, B'nai Korach lo mesu, what it means is, Talmidav Bali HaMachlokas, those of us so later who are like the sons of Korach, we are the ones who are following in the footsteps of Korach, Lo Mesa, we have not died down. Ki b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, yesh nigud mi bale amachlokas al atzadikim v'aholchim b'tom. And he says, B'nai Korach Lo Mesa means that in every generation, unfortunately, we are left with a piece of the machlokas that already was generated in the time of Korach v'Adaso. We have not yet been able to eradicate this terrible midah from our community. The Chassam Sofer writes in his Rashas a very beautiful insight. He says, the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. I remember by a Chag HaSmicha, Dr. Lamb had said in YU that he thought that was a ridiculous comment. Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Unfortunately, we know it's not always the case. So what exactly does it mean? So Dr. Lamb said, this is the only place in Chazal where we find that they had a rhetorical joke, something like that. Okay, it's obviously not the Pshat, and he was making a joke when he said that. But what does it really mean? So the Chassam Sofer writes as follows. Interesting thought. He says, Talmid Chacham Marim Shalom Olam means the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam created the world with all kinds of midos, with all kinds of attributes, with all kinds of personalities, with all kinds of different feelings that people can have. Midas ha-busha v'ha-azus, midas ha-gaiva v'ha-anava. We have gaiva, we have anava, we have azus panim, we have boshes panim, midas ha-shalom ha-machlokis. All these were put into our world by God himself. We didn't create this. God is the one who put it into our bria. V'yi'efshar la'olam b'li midas ha'elu. It would be impossible for the world to run. After all, if God put shalom and machlokis into the world, it means that we need machlokis in order for the world to run, for whatever reason. But that's why God put it here. If God put here gaiva and anava, it means gaiva sometimes is very important. You just have to know how to use it. He says, v'yi'efshar la'olam b'lo midas ha'elu sh'ti'aker mida achas mikol v'kol. It's impossible that we would get rid of one of the midos that God has placed into the bria. However, he says, Roy lishtamish bahem bimekomas haru'uyim. We just have to know how to balance. So sometimes it's important that a person acts like a balgaiva. Why? Because there are certain times in life when one has to stand up for what's right and stand up for what they know is the correct position. And even if you're going to be too much of an anav, too humble, you're not going to be able to do so. So sometimes gaiva is important, and sometimes azus panim is important. Like when the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma, that was azus panim. How do you say such a thing? How are you so brazen to say Nasa v'nishma without even knowing what the Torah means? Still, azus panim once in a while is a good thing. Says the Chassam Sofer that that's what it means here as well. Machlokis is something that can be very important for the world. That's why God put it into the world. So he says, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Sholem Ba'Ola means when you have two people learning together and one is fighting with the other to get to the MS, one is fighting with the other to try to figure out what does this Gemara mean? What's the Pshat in the Torah? What exactly are we trying to understand here in what we're learning? That's the machlokas that's being used, letova. That's taking the midah that Hashem put into the world and using it for the right purpose. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, as long as the Talmidei Chachamim are using the midas ha-machlokas for that, then there's no need for anybody else to be fighting because they, so to speak, are taking up what God put into the Bria. But let's say you have people who are lackadaisical in their learning. Let's say you have people who are not doing as much as they should. They're not trying to fight with one another to get to the real MS, to get to the real understanding of what the Torah means. So then says the Chassam Sofer, they're going to cause that Midas HaMachlokas is going to have to be used by other people in the world. God obviously put it into the Bria for a particular reason. If we're not going to use it for the reason that we think is right, other people are going to unfortunately use it for what we know is not to be right at all. Rabbi Eliezer Papo, who's known for his Sefer, the Peleoids, writes, Kol she'ein anu nitar michet hazeh. Anyone who thinks about the fact that we have not yet been able to purify ourselves from this terrible avera of machlokes e efsher lihi gael. Until we take care of this, as we know, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed sinas chinam, and until we somehow rectify and take care of this problem of machlokes, of the inner strife that we find so often in communities, we will not have a geula. I have said many times in shurim, I think in the shul even, in the past, that there's a very frightening medrash, that the medrash tells us, Shalom alachei asheres laKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a fascinating conversation that took place between the malachei asheres and God himself. So the Medrash records the discussion. Says the Medrash, they ask God three questions. Number one, Kasafta b'sorasecha, you Torah, shafech es dama v'chiseo ba'afar. You said in your Torah that we have a mitzvah of kisei adam. And yet, v'kamksiv and Megillas Eicha, when God came to destroy the Jewish people, it says, shafchu damam kamayim. It says that this blood of the Jewish people was spilled all over the streets. So how come you, God, are not following the rules of kisei adam? You tell us that when we shecht an animal, we should do kisei adam. You, when you go ahead and kill, Rahman al-Islam, the Jewish people, you just allow their blood to spill in the streets, wildly. And it's not covered over. Question number one. Question number two, kasafta b'sarasecha, you told us a mitzvah, osav ezben olo sishchatu b'yom echad. You're not allowed to take an animal and its child and shecht them and kill them on the same day. And yet over here, ksiv ha-banim nishchatim. Over here it says in Megillas Eicha, you have parents and children all being murdered, all being slaughtered on the same day. How come you're not following your own law that you stated in the Torah itself of Osav Ezben Olo Sishchatu B'Yom Echad? Question number two. And now question number three, say the Malachim, you told us, Kasafta B'Sarasecha, when we have the Parsha of Tumas Negayim on a house, when you have Tsaras on a house, so it says that first you're supposed to go, V'tziva HaKoyin Ufinu Asayis, you're first supposed to clear out the house from all the different things that are in the house. This way, not everything's going to become usher. And only then does the coin say that this house is now proclaimed as a bayis hamanuga. So how come over here, you didn't give us a chance to clear out the Beis HaMikdash before you destroyed it? How come you destroyed it with the Aron, with the Shulchan, with everything in it, and you didn't give us a chance? Ufinu as habayis. So the Malachim are, so to speak, calling out the Ribbono Shel Olam himself why he's not following the laws of the Torah. Fascinating discussion. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam answer? He says, Amar Lei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, Klum Yei Shalom Ba'olam. Hol ve'ein shalom, ein klum. Since you can't figure out how to get along, since the Jewish people can't figure out how to have shalom, I'm allowed to break all the rules. Yes, it's true, I really should follow the rules of Kisei Adam. And yes, it's true, Osev Ezbenolo Sishchatu. And oh, yes, it's true, Ufino Asabayis, I should have given you a chance and opportunity to take the Kalim out of the Beis HaMikdash. But im Ein Shalom Ba'olam, I can break all the rules because it means society is not living the way they're supposed to. And here the Arizal picks up and he says very famously that this is perhaps the pshat in the pasuk, ki pali mimcha davar lamishpat. When you have a pella, when you have a question on God that's just beyond any comprehension, bein dam ledam, between the din that the Torah says of kisei adam and the way that God goes ahead and spills our blood into the streets and doesn't allow for it to be covered, bein din ledin, between the halacha of osev ezbenolo sishchatu b'yom echad and the way God is going ahead and doing din on us and killing, slaughtering, massacring parents and children at the same time and not following the rule, bein nega lenega, between the halacha of nega tzaraas ufinu esabayis and the way God himself destroyed his own Beis HaMikdash and did not allow for us to take the kelim out. The answer to all of that is, when you have that pella, what's the end of the pasuk? Divrei rivos bisharecha. The very simple answer, says the Arizal, based on this medrash, is that's the answer to everything. God can break all the rules, God can destroy the world, God can be angry at everybody, as long as we are not able to have shalom in our own communities. Divrei rivos bisharecha is the reason why so often we have so much of the terrible situation that the Jewish people face. In every generation, obviously, it's important that we stay away from machlokes, but the Chafetz Chaim writes in yet another letter that nowadays, in our times, is something that it is so important to keep in mind, more so than in any other generation. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Karav Hadavar Miyod, Chafetz Chaim says, I really have a feeling, Shez Manenu Hu Ikvasa de Mashiach. The Chafetz Chaim says, I really believe, and we know the stories about the Chafetz Chaim, he used to have a little suitcase by his bed, whatever it was, he really believed that we were living in the times of Ikvasa de Mashiach. Obviously, we're supposed to learn more, daven more sincerely. That goes without saying. However, he says also it's important to remember laharbos shalom b'Yisrael. Since it's the zman of ikvasa de Mashiach, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a time for us to be marbes shalom b'Yisrael kadesha tachriya hakaf lekaf shel sechus, in order that we should be able to be worthy of having the redemption that we have all been waiting for. Ve'echlo yechra leiv kal ish Yisrael, says the Chafetz Chaim, I don't understand how people are not petrified. Liro shadavka bizman hazeh, to see that in our generation, in our times, matzliach maisa hasatan laharbos katatos and merivos bekama ayaros me Yisrael. How could it be that in this generation, ikvasa de Mashiach, when we're all waiting and we know that shalom is the way to go, shalom is the way to get us back there, how could it be, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the Satan is, so to speak, merakeh, he's dancing around and allowing for machlokas to break out in so many communities, v'al'yedezen eschale shem shamayim ha'od. Ad kama hachiv ha'gadol, says the Chafetz Chaim, how great is our obligation. Al kol mi sheyesh biyado limchos, on anyone who has the opportunity to break up a machlokas and make sure that it doesn't happen, sha'avon pelilihu ad ma'od, because it is such a severe transgression, it is such a horrible thing to be involved in. Chusana al atzmechem, says the Chafetz Chaim, he begs us, why not have pity on yourselves, va'al klal Yisrael, and on the Jewish people, kadei shelo yehe shemo ha'gadol mechulol ad me'od, and therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, in this generation in particular, it's something that we should be even more conscientious of. It's not like every other generation that machlokas is bad, but that's what happens. Says the Chafetz Chaim, in the times of ikvas of the Mashiach, it's something that we have to give even more attention to and more focus than we otherwise would have in any other given generation. It is Tover that the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, used to say over the following story. Back in the times of the Imre Emes, I guess, when a girl used to get married to a boy who was learning, I guess, so the father-in-law, was his obligation to feed the family of the son-in-law, of the daughter and son-in-law. So they used to move into the home of the in-laws, or to the community of the in-laws, and that's the way they used to be taken care of. So the Imre Emes said over the story that there was a very wealthy man in a particular community, and he had two sons-in-law, and he had an obligation to support both of them. But he said the problem was, each son-in-law had very particular eating habits. One of them wouldn't eat any dairy, one of them wouldn't eat any meat. So he had to prepare two meals every day. One was dairy, one was meat, because both of them couldn't eat together. As we know, the halacha is, you're also not allowed to have somebody eating fleishiks and milchiks on the same table. So he used to set up in two different rooms. In the kitchen, he used to have one son-in-law sitting with his family eating the dairy meal, in the other kitchen he used to have, in the dining room he used to have, the other son-in-law sitting with his family eating the fleishig meal. As life turned out, this man lost all of his money, and then he was left without being able to provide the fleishig meals, the milchig meals. He couldn't give them anything. All he was able to give them was the pascha reva. He was able to give them the stale bread and a little bit of water. That's all he could afford. But still, this son-in-law was sitting in his corner in his room, and the other son-in-law was sitting in his other room. Finally, one day, the father-in-law comes to both of them. He says, I understand, back in the days when I was wealthy and I was able to provide you with the fleishig meal and you with the milchig meal, so then you had to eat in two separate rooms. But now, all we're left with is just a pascha reva. All we're eating together already is just the stale bread and a little bit of water. Can't you figure out how to sit around one table? Can't you just figure out how to get around one table and get your families together and just sit and eat a nice meal as a family? Why do you have to sit in two different rooms now? What's holding you back? That's a story that the Imri Amos said, and the Imri Amos told us that it used to be in previous generations, yeah, we all know there was a big machlokas, the Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon, whether or not Hasidus was the right way to go. And we had machloksim over the generations, and those machloksim were very important. Why were they important? Because we were talking about Jews who were so committed, who were so serious about the religion, who were so strong in their convictions. There was what to fight about. That was a time of riches. That was a time when he had fleishigs, he had milchigs. There was what to fight about. Sit in two different rooms. Make sure you don't come together. However, said the Imre Emes, now that we're not living in those times anymore, what are we living with anymore? What does the Jewish community look like now? All we have is the stale bread and a little bit of water. We still have to sit in two different rooms? How many Jews do we have that are Shomer Torah mitzvahs at all, said the Imre Emes? Not that many. How do we not feel the obligation to get together and make sure that at least in this situation that we're in, at least in this time in history when we're not so strong, when we're not able to provide the Yerushamayim and the Shmiras HaMitzvahs that they used to have in the days of yore, how are we not careful, how are we not conscientious to make sure in our generation that at least we sit around one table, get the family together, and live B'Shalom U'V'Shalva as one Jewish community? So this is, I believe, a beautiful story that the Imre Emes shares. And it's something to think about. Yes, people always say, yeah, there was a machlokas, this and that, and there was a machlokas, the Vilna Gaon and the Balatanya, and many others who had machloksim over the generations, but just think about the state of the Jewish people in our generation. Think about where we're up to, and think about the story of the Imre Emes, about how lowly we are, and how much we have an obligation and an opportunity to come together and to make sure that machlokas is something that we absolutely eradicate from all of our communities. It's Hashem, we will.